All right, let's talk tech with Jan Vermeulen, and he is editor at large for My Broadband. Good afternoon, Jan. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Oh, it's lovely to hear from you. Are you still at Google headquarters?
Yeah, that's where I am right now. So it is for me 7-8 in the morning. And I'm about to head off to my first interview of the day.
I thought you were going to say it was like a religious experience for you. This was your temple, the center of universal tech. Yeah.
No, it's amazing to be in this place. Like it's like this flashpoint of an incredible amount of innovation in the world, you know? So Google's headquarters is in Mountain View. Apple's is one suburb over in Cupertino. And then sort of, it's sort of like, you know, and over there is San Francisco. It's sort of like, seeing, you know, Santon in the distance and all the businesses in the suburbs around it. Except of course over here, these businesses are multi-million dollar companies.
Yeah, quite a difference. Yeah. And your site was full of remarkably interesting information. I want to take us through quite a few of them in the small amount of time that we have. Chaos at ORT airports due to system failure. Oh. What happened?
Yeah, so this is one of the cool things about traveling a lot is you get to see all kinds of different aspects of OR Tambo. So this happened on my flight out to come to Google's headquarters, where the passport control at the one terminal went down. So the main central terminal, Terminal B's passport control, the whole immigration system was down. And so they were funneling passengers all through the one terminal, the passport control behind Terminal A. And we're queuing. The queue is around, you know, and like out several doors, like circling itself. It was terrible. And so naturally, you know, people start walking up and down the queue, start asking, hey, when do you need to board? What flight are you on? And then start ushering people away, you know, to try and make sure that people reach their flights on time.
Yeah.
It turns out that the person who was ushering us was not really on official assignment, because she grabbed four of us and pushed us through to the front of the queue. Long story short, at the end of this process, she turns to us and says, okay, so now where's my tip? If you don't tip me, then, you know, people will, you know, we'll stop doing this. You know, I helped you. You need to help me now.
Thanks for the heads up.
So I told her that no, I've never had to pay anybody for helping me through immigration to help me get to my flight on time. Went home and wrote the article. Obviously I sent an email to AXA first. And then sat down and wrote the article, or not went home. I got to the boarding gate, connected to the Wi-Fi, and then proceeded to do the writing. So yes, it was a pretty harrowing experience altogether. The feedback from AXA has been tremendous. They seem to be about as angry about this as I am. And so they were looking for times, dates, people, everything to try and look at the CCTV footage, try and track down the people.
Come on, Jan, you've got to admire the entrepreneurialism.
No,
it is a little, but as we were standing in that queue, we're like, this is a business opportunity, but this not exactly what I had in mind. I was hoping to be served a beer.
Okay. So listen, that brings me on to the next story, which I just loved because it's so utterly bizarre. Is Cell C seriously dismissing employees via WhatsApp message?
What?
This is, yeah, we've had eyes on documents. We've got the documents on the website.
Oh my God.
So it's WhatsApp and, sort of official mail. You know, so like an actual printed letter, it looks like, is also delivered to the employee. But the main message seems to be WhatsApp. You are served with the official communication over WhatsApp, and this seems to stem from the unprotected strikes that have happened at Cell C in the past. We asked them about it, and Cell C said that they can't answer the question because they want to respect the privacy of the employees, but they said pretty much rest assured, we're following the labor law to the letter. So everything we're doing is perfectly legal.
Wowie zowie. That is absolutely fascinating that's what it's come to. Kathy, do not get any ideas.
No, and I've just got a question that's come through from one of our listeners.
Yeah.
Who wants to know, Jan, Does anyone know what time load shedding starts tomorrow?
yeah, that seems to be the joke, right? There's actually a lot of indications that we're going to be looking at load shedding again sometime soon. There was a critical loan from China that Eskom was hoping for that it did not get. And so without that cash injection, we'll see. But I suspect there's load shedding on our horizon, aside from all the conspiracy theories, which are completely justified, by the way, because of the reports that have come out in the last few months, which showed that Eskom's that there was certainly communication at Eskom regarding using load shedding as a bargaining chip. To twist the government's arm to get what it wants.
Aside from that, Jan, when South Africa was going through those six, you know, stage six and stage seven load shedding, you don't know, like we got incredibly, incredibly close to a full blackout. And the problem with a blackout is that you need to have, in order to get a power station online that it can generate power, it needs to have power being fed to it. And if you've got two or three different installations that have gone down, that's it. You can be without power for months. And that means that you don't have running water. You don't have anything. Forget generators.
Yeah,
no generators.
No telecommunications.
Nothing.
Yeah, it's called a black start, and I don't know how well practiced Eskom is on this, but it's possible to do within the space of a few weeks rather than a few months. But still, imagine being without power for a few weeks. It would be a disaster. Yeah. It would be a disaster for the economy. And can we call him the president yet? I guess incumbent president, Cyril Ramaphosa, I think is well aware of this and knows that, a failure of the grid needs to be avoided at all costs. That's instant junk status. Instant collapse of the rand. It's just not something we want.
Yeah, except that he's also part of the same dispensation that got us into this position. So, anyhow, moving on.
No. Oh, have I got time?
Oh, no, you don't have time. We've got to go to news.
Yes,
Jan, can I ask
you
a favor? You're such an interesting guy to speak to, and especially with these stories. Listen, mybroadband.co.za is a fantastic website. Can I ask you, would it be possible? I know that it's early in the morning, but could you possibly stay with us until after news?
I can try. I have to walk to my next interview in a few minutes, but I can wait until after news.
Okay, that would be amazing. Thank you so much.
So going on, because you really did have a very newsy week this week, Vodacom and MTM profit margins. Here is the truth. So says the headline.
Yes, this is a continuation of the Competition Commission report, fallout. Where a lot of people, I think, don't like the position that we've taken because people hate their mobile network operators. They hate Vodacom and MTN. But there's a tremendous amount of inaccuracy being perpetuated out there about exactly, you know, what the situation is with Vodacom and MTN, the amounts that they charge us versus the rest of Africa and the rest of the world, and their profit margins. And so what we took a look at, and it was actually very interesting to see what was revealed, is that EBITDA margin is what we ended up looking at. That's the margin before depreciation tax and so on, to try and get a fair measure between different countries. So you remove the parts of the equation that are going to vary by market. And so you just look at the earnings before all the taxation and depreciation and so on, and it revealed that MTN's margin in South Africa is around 30%, which is quite a bit lower than elsewhere. Than in other markets where it operates. So South Africa is actually towards the lower end of MTN's global operations when it comes to EBITDA margin. Vodacom is under 30%, over 30%. My bad. That is towards the high end of its market. So like what was interesting to see was that the EBITDA margin for MTN in South Africa was higher than Vodacom's and that was towards the low end of its global operations.
Okay, so that doesn't Vodacom's sound
unreasonable. EBITDA margin. Yeah. So Vodacom, in short, is making less gross, let's call it gross profit. Vodacom is making less gross profit than MTN in South Africa, and we are one of its best markets. This was to kind of, dispute the situation or the claims that Vodacom and MTN are both kind of fleecing South African consumers in terms of gross profit. One could make that argument for Vodacom, but the interesting thing here is it's making less gross profit than MTN is. And it's sort of being reflected in its financials. It's in a bit of a pickle, Vodacom, with revenues in South Africa, or rather contraction in growth. It's not showing quarterly growth in data revenues. And so, yeah, it was quite a lot to digest, in this. So yes, it's true, that Vodacom is making the most profit in South Africa, but it's not true that MTN is making the most profit in South Africa across all its operations.
Jan van Meulen, go enjoy, California, thank you for talking to us. We'll talk to you next week when you're back in SA, presumably.
Thank you very much. Have a great day further.
Thank you so much.